Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. We appreciate your patronage as always. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Eric Asperschlager.
I appreciate your patronizing.
I do. That's the least I can do. And Judge Mike Rubino, who we've just established has the sexiest voice on the airwaves, on the podcast airwaves.
Hello.
That didn't quite measure up to the hype I built up for it.
How about this?
All right.
Hey guys!
Nice. All right.
Cool. Did it just get hot in here?
Is that Dateline on the other side of the? That's not a, like a little kid. And then Mac McIntyre, how's it going?
I'm here.
That's a great existential quotation from Mac. Thank you. I am here.
It is. And also vaguely sexy.
And vaguely sexy. Yes.
I podcast, so I am.
So I don't know. What are we doing here? Same old thing. Kill some time for your weekend. Your Columbus Day weekend. So if you've got big Columbus Day plans,
it's Columbus Day this weekend.
Well, Columbus Day is next Monday, I believe. So Mike Rubino, what are your Columbus Day plans? How do you celebrate?
Well, as an Italian American,
I
feel like I need to do something.
You totally do.
I didn't even know it was this weekend. I feel like I need to walk in a parade or something.
How do you not know? I mean. It's like if you're Muslim and you miss Ramadan, you can't do that.
I always forget that Columbus is even Italian. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but it's like he was sent over by the Spanish. Like I always forget that he was Italian. His name is Columbus.
Yeah,
that's well, Italian, right?
It doesn't sound very Italian.
No, it doesn't.
Does it?
See, it's easy to forget. I think the Italians are sort of like latched onto this holiday.
If it was like Colombizzo or something like that, you know.
Thank you.
Or fettuccine.
Something like that. Something said in that accent, anyway, you know. Leave the gun, take the new world. I think that was his saying.
All right, well, I'm a little disappointed, Mr. Rubino. Your Italian heritage, I mean, you know, you got to really work to support that, you know. Cause...
I know, there are some parades happening. I just didn't realize that Columbus Day was this weekend, so I guess I'm going to have to celebrate somehow.
I've never heard of a Columbus Day parade, or frankly, a Columbus Day anything.
The little Italy part of the city is having like a – I saw a banner today.
Really?
It said Columbus Day parade, and I was like, huh, wonder when that is.
Oh, so is Columbus considered an Italian folk hero, you know? He was like, hey, this is one of ours.
Well, he is fictional, so.
That's true. That is true.
He's like the Paul Bunyan for Italian Americans.
Who's the, okay, so, like, who's Paul Bunyan for?
Paul Bunyan is Paul Bunyan for,
Lumberjack community.
Yeah, lumberjack Americans.
Just as the Yeti belongs to Canadians. Right?
Exactly.
Lumberjack Americans are just not represented well, I have to say. You know, I feel bad. You know, they've been an oppressed minority for so long.
I know. People calling them Jackies all the time. Awful. It's just
Can you even say that on the air? I think that's hateful.
I'm sorry. Can you
we might have to bleep that. Yeah.
You can bleep that. I'm sorry. I was quoting. It was in quotes.
The ACLU is going to get all over us now.
I think as long as you're quoting someone else saying it, it's okay, but you may want to bleep it out anyway.
I believe the approved word is stumper right now. I believe that they
do prefer that, yes.
All right. Well, man, I think we just like burned through 5 minutes.
I don't know how we got there from Columbus Day. That is the most Columbus Day discussion I've had since elementary school.
That's true. Okay, you know, speaking of Columbus Day, we do this time to time on the Friday Filibuster. Here is a surprise ambush topic, an ambush topic, if you will. Just inspired by Columbus Day, movie or TV show involving ships. You know, big ships with, you know, tall ships, big sailing ships. Mike, go.
Apocalypto.
Okay, that's
bad. They show up at the end and freak out the natives.
That's right.
You know, there was always that thing that they said, like, well, the natives wouldn't have actually seen the ships because they were so not used to seeing boats that they would just not see them. I don't know if I believe that.
Never seen a UFO, but...
That's true. That means there could be UFOs all around us, and we just don't see them because we're not used to seeing them.
I have never heard... That makes no sense to me. I've never heard that criticism.
I've heard that, but I don't think it's... I mean, it doesn't make sense. you don't understand something, you don't see it.
I'm not used to seeing Bengal tigers, but if there was one in my house with me, I'd probably know.
That's true. But you do understand a Bengal tiger, though.
Right? Oh, hmm.
I think they understand.
I don't think we can ever fully understand a Bengal tiger.
I don't think so.
I think they eventually saw the ships because the ships took over their land.
That's
so they had to see them eventually. But it was like
the ships took over their land.
The people on the ships.
Michael Bay took over.
You guys are just stalling for time because you can't think of another boat movie.
Right. I've got one.
No, boat movie.
I'm going to go at the end of Goonies.
Not bad.
They definitely saw that one.
12 played.
Yeah.
I just want to know, 10 minutes after the credits closed on Goonies, what happened to that ship? You know, boarded by the Coast Guard, it ran into a reef and sunk. You know, or just fell apart because it's so old and awful. I don't know. But we never saw that. Mac, boat movie.
All right, Dev, I'll steal yours and go with Master and Commander.
The price you pay.
Great movie, of course. Just totally awesome.
Yes. One of my favorites. All right. I guess I'll just go with Pirates of the Caribbean, but I'm bored with that already. So let's move on. Eric, what have you been doing in the world of entertainment?
Well, Dave, you know how I like to talk about old movies.
It's time for another segment of Old News with Eric Astroslager.
Well, Dave, perhaps you've heard of a little movie called The Social Network.
Have you seen it?
No, but I saw another Jesse Eisenberg movie.
Okay, what was that?
I finally got around to seeing Zombieland.
Oh, congratulations. And what did you think?
I liked it. It's streaming on Netflix. Kind of an odd little movie because it feels like a little movie. It doesn't feel like a big, epic zombie movie. In fact, there's very little zombie action in it, really.
Yeah, it picks up a little at the end there.
Yeah, it does. It feels like it's a movie in three acts. You have everything that happens before Bill Murray, and then true. Bill Murray, and then the end.
Right.
Amusement park.
It is very much a road movie. It's not, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot of driving, a lot more driving in a zombie movie than I'm used to seeing. There's usually a lot of shambling or sort of carefully getting from one abandoned building to the next, or just being stuck somewhere. So the fact that they have, like, Hummers at their disposal is kind of takes it out of the realm of most zombie movies, but... Even
and Bill Murray doesn't.
Well, I was going to say, like, even knowing he was going to be in it, it's been out for a while now, so I finally heard that was kind of the closely guarded secret for a long time. And that is an awesome sequence.
Definitely.
And it's maybe a little out of place in a zombie movie, but it's so great that I don't care. So
nice. Anything else?
Not too much else, just kind of normal TV watching, getting more, you know, kind of working my way through Tales from the Crypt still.
Good.
And, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right. Nice.
I'm almost done with reading the Scott Pilgrim series.
Oh, cool.
Ended up getting the last three books from Amazon because they had them like ridiculously cheap. They may still like between $3 and $4 each. I'm enjoying them.
Very good.
Yeah,
and I'll be able to talk soon enough. I got the second Dexter novel. I'm going to read that.
Nice.
I was actually going to ask you, Dave, off mic, but since we're here,
sure.
Knowing, you know, watching up through season four as you have, is there anything I need to worry about?
Nope, zero spoilage.
Okay.
They're totally different. After the first book, the TV show and the novels take radically different approaches.
Okay.
But the second book is notable in the fact that the I won't spoil anything, like the antagonist in this book, treats his victims in really, really upsetting in a way that still upsets me when I think about it. So I'll let you discover that. It's pretty effed up, actually. So enjoy that.
Right. So what you're saying is I better stop reading it to my daughter before she goes to sleep at night.
Well, she's got to grow up sometime. So
it's true. There's a big difference between Wheels on the Bus and Dexter.
That's right. All right, Mac, how about you? What's new?
Let's see. Well, I finally got around to seeing the new Robin Hood, you know, the Ridley Scott. You know what? I really liked it.
And that is a minority opinion as far as I hear.
I, I wasn't expecting much, but I really dug it. It had much more of a sort of a rich story than I was expecting, and you know, a lot more character development than I was expecting. And it's just beautifully filmed, which is no surprise considering it's Ridley, and some really great action throughout. So, yeah. Now, a lot of people complain about the historical inaccuracies and certain technologies that they didn't have back then, but I don't know. You know, a couple of weeks ago for the site, I reviewed The New Adventures of Robin Hood from 97, and that had a flying saucer crash land in Sherwood Forest with an alien coming out shooting laser beams at Robin and his friends. So after that, you know, some fancy boats really don't bother me so much in Robin Hood.
All right. How was the action sequences?
I liked them. I thought they were really well done, very well staged. There's one early on where Robin and his buddies come across some of the evil knights, and it's kind of a chase through the woods that really got me going. And the big final battle, you know, even though it had those boats that nobody likes, was very well done. Robin and the bad guys sword fighting on the beach, and they're splashing around the water and stuff. And
now, from the trailer, it looked like Maid Marian puts on a suit of armor and rides in the battle too. Is that true?
Yes.
Does she pretend to be a man so she could fight? Is that one of those cliche things or no?
Not so much, no. She just kind of, you know, it's the leftover armor from Elizabeth that she puts on. And, yeah, she just kind of rides into battle with him just because she doesn't want to stay behind and be weak, you know, that sort of thing.
Right, gotcha.
Again, you know, you can argue historical accuracy, but, you know, it's people swinging swords around at each other, and it's all good.
All right, good review. How about you, Mike?
Well, this past weekend, my play, debuted and ran for a weekend, so that was pretty cool.
How much did you make up in the box office?
I don't know. I mean, we had really good crowds.
Good.
Yeah, very, very well.
I mean, do you see a piece of that action or what?
You know, I get a little bit of money, but there's also awards that I could win. I could get more money if my play wins, so we'll see.
So was it part of a contest? It was part of
a festival. Yeah, 12 one-act plays produced over 4 weeks. So mine was
better than the 1 12-act play festival I saw the other. Damn.
Yeah, that one's a harder festival.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah, it was really boring. But
but yeah, aside from that, I did see The Social Network.
Okay, and?
And I really enjoyed it. It's really it's sharp is I think the best way to describe it. Like the Aaron Sorkin script is just completely sharp from the get go. The first scene, you're just gripped by like the dialogue that this guy wrote. And it's, you know, normally this would probably be a pretty boring movie, or it would be, you know, about on par with like Pirates of Silicon Valley, if you ever saw that TNT movie back in the day.
Right.
But the fact that it had Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher directing and Jesse Eisenberg, it sort of elevated the whole thing and actually became very, a very good drama, very well filmed. And they really take that Mark Zuckerberg to task.
he does not come across as a...
He's a complete scoundrel, a very arrogant scoundrel, and a lonely man by the end of it. And, well, throughout the whole movie, he's a pretty lonely, negative person. So it's interesting that there's that sort of movie out there about a kid who's just like a year or two older than me, and he's got like a giant movie that's telling the world how crazy evil he is. But it's a really good movie, and you know, it makes you sort of think about Facebook a little bit differently. And Justin Timberlake rocks in it. He takes butt. Yeah, he's really good. So yeah, everything about that movie is top notch. So I definitely recommend it, especially if you know, are in for some corporate drama excitement.
Man, you had me at corporate drama.
Yeah, I mean, it's no, you know, it's not like Panic Room or Zodiac or anything, but it's very interesting. There's not a point where I was bored or thought it was slow. So it's a solid 2-hour film.
All right, very nice. Me, I haven't done too much here besides the usual viewing and whatnot. But I did watch kind of inadvertently, just because my in-laws were watching it. No Ordinary Family, you know. And Mac, you had talked about it, how you weren't loving it. So I
watched the first episode.
They reran the first episode like on Friday. So my in-laws got into it, so I was watching it. And yeah, I'm with you. It's a lump. I'll be the Chiklis fan. I'll always be the Chiklis fan. But It's just, you're right. There's just nothing there. Just cliched.
Oh, this is the superhero family.
Superhero family. Like, and like they get the kid. The kids are annoying. I mean, that's an instant, to me, that's an instant, that's like a kung fu death grip on any family show, right? If the kid, or in any movie, really. I mean, the kids are annoying. Like, the daughter's annoying, and the son is really annoying in this. He just looks annoying to me. He's a kid who played a young Captain Kirk in Star Trek, you know, the Star Trek remake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The bastard who stole the car. And so maybe that kind of insubordination is rubbing off on my watching, but it's just it was just an annoying thing. And then Julie Benz, who is from Dexter, she's okay. So I don't know, just didn't really do anything at all for me. So that's not going to make it. And that's about it for me. Have you, Mac? Have you still been watching The Event?
You know what? I missed that one this week too, so I'm thinking I might end up bailing on The Event.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Did you watch an episode of The Event, Mike? I can't remember if you had mentioned
it. I watched the first episode.
Yeah, you weren't enamored with that either, right?
Backed away slowly.
You still got some tea to look forward to.
Yeah, not messing with that either.
Oh, your office stuff?
Wow.
I went cold turkey on that stuff. I don't even know. I'm just sort of storing it all up for The Walking Dead.
That's true.
And you know what? I caught a rerun of The Human Target the other day, and I regret not following through with that show.
Yeah, that's actually sitting in my desk to review now. I've got the first season, which I was happy to get to take a look at. So hopefully that's another one of those shows that I could catch up on DVD in time for the new season. So was that fun when you caught it?
Like, I remember seeing the first episode and thinking, oh, this is a light 80s style comedy. It's kind of cool. But then as, I just got busy with other things and it didn't really grab me. And then, I was homesick and I saw a rerun and was like, hey, this show is actually pretty cool. I don't know if, I think it was the season finale or something. So
yeah, that's what the rumors are. So I look forward to getting into that. So that's a good segue. Well played, Mike Rubino.
Thank you.
What we've got on tap. So why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go first, Mike? What's coming out from your fountain pen?
Nothing.
Excellent.
Actually, because I took because of my play, I took the week off. So I will say I've been watching Outsourced, and it's terrible. So
okay.
There's my.
The quicker that dies, the better for everybody.
Absolutely.
Bring back Parks and Rec, right?
Yes.
It's amazing that got shelved because of Outsourced.
Outsourced is so bad. I don't even understand. I don't know. It just, so many things are wrong with it. So, yeah, the quicker that gets canceled, the quicker Parks and Rec comes back.
That's right.
And so there you go.
All right. Mac, how about you?
Yep, just finished up the review of the latest release for Ben 10 Alien Force.
One of my favorite shows. It really is every other week that you're talking to us
like
about a DVD of, like, what's the count of Ben 10 DVDs you have right now?
Okay, I'm going to try to keep the chronology here as succinct as possible. So this is volume 9.
All right.
This is volume 9 of Alien Force, which is the third part of the third season, which is preceded by 4 seasons of the original Ben 10. Mm-hmm. How is that?
Fantastic.
Okay. And this is actually the end of Ben 10 Alien Force.
The end? No more? Is coming?
No, because after this, the show got reimagined or retooled or reconfigured or whatever as Ben 10 Ultimate Alien. So that'll be the next DVD.
Is it a reboot?
Well, they changed Ben's powers around, and they've added some new characters, like a new villain. In that sense, it's not kind of a full-on reboot. It's just kind of a new name and like new powers and stuff. Okay. Like a new arc is starting.
Have you seen any of these shows?
Yes. Like, going back to this Volume 9, this third season of Alien Force has been really inconsistent compared to the hybrid arc, which was in seasons 1 and 2. This third season's been just up and down. They've done some really fun shows and some really cool, exciting stuff, but then they've made some decisions that really drove me crazy because it was like the characters weren't acting like themselves, you know? And the one, Ben's friend Kevin, got transformed into this monster, so he's like half human, half mineral. But everywhere he goes, like, no one even reacts to his appearance. Like, you know, oh my gosh, what is that thing? No one sees, just everyone just treats him like normal. And that just kept bugging me so much. So, you know, it's been really inconsistent. And of course, the bad guy, Vilgax, there's all this big buildup that Vilgax was returning, and it's going to be so scary, but he ended up just being kind of an overblown thug. So it's like, what is the secret to defeating Vilgax? Well, you can just punch him.
Great.
So it's just up and down, really inconsistent.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
But yeah, I've been watching the new episodes of Ultimate Alien as they air on TV, and those are much improved.
All right. Well, we look forward to that review in a week.
Probably, yeah. Okay. So you guys get to breathe a sigh of relief because you don't get to hear me whining about Vilgax anymore, and now you get to hear me talking on and on about Aggregor instead.
Have you been whining about Vilgax? I tend to tune out when you bring that up. So, all right. Look forward to the forthcoming Ben 10 love. Eric, how about you?
Which segment are we in? Sorry, I was not paying attention either. Mike, your play. Really, congratulations on that. And yes. So I saw Zombieland this week. Oh wait, yeah, review. I am reviewing this week. That little bit did not work as well as I thought. This week I'm reviewing 25th anniversary Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concerts.
Okay,
about a year ago, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame put together this 2-night concert series at Madison Square Garden where they assembled all these huge names like U2, Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, Crosby, Stills and Nash, Jackson Brown, Jeff Beck, et cetera, et cetera. And they did this show, and it wasn't just, you know, them doing their own songs, but they combined in crazy ways. So you had like U2 and Mick Jagger doing a Rolling Stones song, and Metallica and Ozzy Osbourne doing some Black Sabbath songs, and you know, Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel. It's just kind of this kind of big mashup thing. So they did this huge show, and then they aired a heavily edited version of the shows on HBO. And so now they're releasing the HBO version plus a few bonus performances on DVD and Blu-ray. So I'm reviewing that. I mean, it's still like 5.5 hours long, this concert. Although from what I've been reading, it's still, you know, maybe 2/3 of what they actually did, if that. So, but it's pretty cool. It's you know, there's a lot there. I mean, I'm not that into everyone who's performing, but you know, when it comes to like the U2 stuff and some of the heavier stuff, the Bruce Springsteen, I dig it. So it's all pretty
right.
Cool.
Nice. Let's see. My end. I'll just shout out to a fantastic documentary that I just watched and submitted the review actually minutes before we hit the record for this podcast, but it's Magic and Bird, A Courtship of Rivals. It's the HBO sports documentary, just looking at, you know, Magic and Bird's relationship and just kind of their history and kind of their impact. And I mean, I like basketball anyway, so it's easy for me to get into it. But man, even if you don't like basketball, it's just really well-made, fascinating stuff. And I mean, those guys are kind of beyond basketball. They're more like, you know, they're almost like cultural icons. And there's it's just really well done and excellent movie, and especially if you like basketball, it'll pay off in a big way. So
they you know, back when I was into basketball.
Were you?
Up until like the seventh grade. And but I had that.
And then you went to the dark side of hockey, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Well, no, I was always a hockey, but I was able to actually watch more than one sport back in the day. And but I had the Atari game, the Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson.
Oh, that's great. It. Oh yeah.
It's like one-on-one.
Yeah,
basketball.
Awful. Right. And that's the one where you do like – no, I'm thinking Jordan versus Bird.
Jordan versus Bird is with the slam dunk competition.
Yeah, and the three-point contest, right?
That's a much better game that I also have.
Oh, nice. Oh, man, yes.
The Atari game is not so good, but it has a sweet cover because they're like in their like street – basketball clothes leaning against a brick wall looking all hard.
I love Atari game covers. Those are the best. They just had like this unbelievably awesome artwork, you know, and then when you actually got into the game, it was kind of rough.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I think that red dot's supposed to be Michael Jordan.
So anyway, great documentary. So let's move on to what, Mac?
Yeah, why don't we look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. What we're going to do, and you can play along at home, we're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and we're going to go to the cover art gallery for October 12th and just talk about whatever's on here that interests or excites us.
Now, this interests and excites me, even though I haven't watched it yet. It's on my docket to review, but it's Arn, the Knight Templar.
Yes.
So Darn. I know very little about it, but it sounds.
It sounds like the dude that's at the end of the bar every night. No, it's Arn.
Hey Arn. Oh!
Hey Arn. Arn.
You think it's short for Arnold?
Arnold the Knight Templar? Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I bet it's Arnesto.
he fights right. with the Tar Arn.
A tire.
All right, this looks great. I've never seen it, Dave. You probably have, but apparently they're releasing the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
That's fantastic. I do own it. I own
you
it.
You do? Oh, okay.
I reviewed it for the site. It's fantastic. I think it's where Skeletor discovers the magic of Christmas.
That sounds right.
<Not making up. laughs>
It looks like I can say He-Man on the cover is looking kind of it's a jaunty Santa hat.
Yes.
I think when you add a Santa hat to what little He-Man already wears, he looks way more like a male stripper than he usually does.
I gave it an 88, by the way.
Wow.
And here's a direct quote from I'm looking at my review. It's a direct quote from Skeletor when he feels the Christmas spirit come over him. Quote, what is this strange feeling coming over me? End quote. That's it.
Now,
isn't he never figures it out?
No. Yeah, I'm going to quickly read you the synopsis, okay? Orko, up to his usual antics, steals aboard one of Man-at-Arm's latest inventions, a rocket satellite contraption. Thanks to some interference from Hordak, which is She-Ra's nemesis, the rocket goes haywire and ends up on Earth. Orko comes to and spots two young children, Miguel and Alicia. An avalanche is heading straight for them. Orko thinks fast, uses magic, moves the kid out of the way, and brings it back to Eternia. There you go.
Wow.
So it's really the Orko Christmas special?
He plays a pivotal role. Yeah, I mean, he was the one who he's moving stuffed animals for Mattel, so...
I had an Orko. Like, there's a little, like, zip line, kind of a zip cord thing that would make him... I don't know what I should call this thing. It's like a long plastic strip with teeth, you know, that was ridged, and you stick it in, there's a gear, and you pull it out fast, and then he'd move.
Right. He, like, spins around a circle when you do that, right?
Is that what he did? I guess he doesn't move in a straight line. That would be too useful.
Hey, there's a comic book movie, Mac, Jonah Hex, right?
Yeah, I never saw it. Not very well reviewed.
Yeah.
Kind of came and went in theaters pretty quick. But, that'd be a hard character to kind of get right on the big screen.
So. Okay.
But, you know, Mastodon did the soundtrack, so it's got a good soundtrack if you like heavy metal.
I think it's short, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard it's very short. Yeah, you're right.
I heard it was barely a movie. There was one review that was like, this barely follows the rules of film.
It lasted, just slightly longer than the trailers that preceded it.
I think so, yes.
Speaking of barely following the rules of film, how about Expendable? You see that? Expendable.
Oh, that's nice.
You can't spend this.
Nice.
I used to spend this.
It used to be spendable. Now it's not. It's like a dollar bill you tear in half.
Exactly. This is expendable.
It looks pretty awesome. On the streets of Philadelphia, competing gangs try to gain control of their territories, but the government-sponsored informant system is becoming a nuisance to their corrupt dealings. Raffi finds out the hard way that the Snitch Network has hit him where it hurts most when he discovers his wife is actually a police informant.
They're giving it all away in the preview.
Holy crap.
Is that the same Raffi as the children's entertainer?
I believe so. Raffi, children's entertainer / drug kingpin.
Hey, how about this movie Light Blast with Eric Estrada? Look at that cover.
Let's take a look. Whoa, mama.
It's an illustrated cover of like a dune buggy. Well, there's Eric Estrada real big, and then like a dune buggy jumping over two cars that are colliding, and there's like a... It looks like there's a goblin on fire in the lower right.
And it looks like his gun is like a water pistol.
Yeah. He's like shooting up in the air for some reason. This movie looks amazing.
It does look... I mean, it looks stunt rock-like.
It does.
And there's no information about it, so who knows what it's about. We'll have to get our research assistants on to take a look.
It's from Code Red. They do all kinds of trashy B-movies and really do them like... They do them right with all kinds of features and stuff. So,
Light Blast. That's good.
So no matter what the movie is, I'm sure Code Red is going to treat it right.
There's a nice eclectic mix here.
A season 2 of Dollhouse I'm looking forward to.
Jaws in Japan. What is that? Oh, also called Psycho Shark. But oh, when you hover over it, Jaws in Japan, the Amazon link becomes Psycho Shark. So, I don't know, kind of sleight of hand. Okay, here's a okay, I just checked out whatever that's from Light Blast on IMDb. Here's the plot description. A crazed physician invents a death ray and threatens to destroy San Francisco unless he's paid $10 million, which sounds like a bargain, actually. So,
yeah, it's pretty cheap.
Oh, here's the tagline. Oh, this is great. I don't know if this is the official tagline, but it sounds great. It can destroy a city, .. and perhaps the word. That's what it says.
So the Bible?
Yes.
Just read the Bible.
Thanks, IMDb.
Okay. All right, well, let's we'll move right along to inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac.
Breaking Upwards.
Not bad, not bad. Eric.
Kitten Party.
Oh,
oh, sorry.
Oh man, Mike, that's the second week in a row I think you've done that.
Bangkok Adrenaline.
That's good. Now I think the actual title of the movie is Four Boxes, though it looks like Fur Boxes. So I'm going to say Fur Box.
It's whatever you want it to be. That's true. That is bad design right there. So yeah. I'll give it to you.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Moving along to our ambush topics. And this is where we just throw random topics at each other and see if we can weave podcast gold from them. So, Mac, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, well, still been watching one of my favorite shows, Castle, enjoying the new episodes. And I'm wondering if what other, mostly TV shows, but other TV shows or movies or whatever, have the title is the main character's last name.
That's like more of a, that's like a pop quiz in a film studies class more than Amish Top, but let's hear.
Well, I'm going to go with the fairly obvious one. And a lot of, this will apply to actually pretty much every detective show falls under your...
That's true.
So I'm gonna go with Columbo.
Is this related to Columbus Day again?
Yeah. Yes, because Columbo, I'm pretty sure, was an Italian, or at least he is now.
They should have a Columbo Day parade. You know.
Ooh yeah,
be awesome.
Where everybody just kind of meanders around with trench coats.
Excuse me, one more question. just check one thing with you. That's my.
That's good.
It's a parade that's good. 9 hours.
I guess I'll go with House.
Oh, right.
Is that his
good.
Last name?
Very good. That counts, yeah.
Whose first name is House?
Well, I don't know.
House Johnson.
Well, I wasn't questioning whether it was his first or last name. I've just never actually seen the show, so I'm just assuming his last name was House. What's his name, like Stanley House? What's his first name?
Gregory House.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I could have gone with Monk. That would have worked, too. That's a shot scene. I'll go with Monk.
Yeah,
that's a shot scene.
Monk, yeah.
See, how many more can I take before Dave?
I was going to say.
I'm already Hunter. Struggling here.
Isn't Hunter one of them?
Oh, that's another one. Yep.
Yeah. And MacGyver. Come on, Dave.
Oh, Dave.
You took Dave's. Okay.
Crap. Okay.
I'm going to keep burning him until Dave figures it out.
Benson? Is that his last name?
Benson.
Yeah, that was his last name. Nice. All right.
Nice. That's it. I have no functional memory of that show. That's what I'm going to say.
Wasn't Hammer one of them? Like Mike Hammer?
Sledgehammer.
The name of that show was
Mike Hammer. Oh, is Mike Hammer was the full name of the show?
Oh, there's a Sledgehammer show.
Sledgehammer was a different show. Yeah,
Sledgehammer was
a show.
Spencer, right? Spencer for Hire. No, it's a Spencer for Hire.
Yeah. What's his last name, Spencer for Hire? John Spencer
Hire? All right, well, Mac, what was on your list?
Okay, what do I have on this? Okay, well, I already said Castle. Beretta. See, Kojak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you took Hunter already. Monk, Columbo, and MacGyver. Those were the ones I had written down.
Very good.
Wow.
So it's quite the trend, you know?
That's a good topic right there.
They do tend to be detective shows of some sort.
Yes.
Yes.
MacGyver.
Matlock, right? Was that his last name?
Oh, Matlock.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oldie McMatlock.
That's right.
That was his first name.
All right. So I'll go next here. Did you have more?
Oh, and on The Simpsons, there was McGarnacle.
Nice.
That's right.
See, I'll go next year. I was talking about we're talking about some sports here, basketball, whatnot. So, your favorite sport. Take your favorite sport and give me a movie or a TV show or whatever. The best example of that sport and the worst. So, like the best movie involving that sport and the worst movie, or the best TV episode and the worst TV episode.
Okay, I'll go first.
All right,
since this should be pretty easy. Obviously, it's hockey.
Yeah.
For the best. You know, I think the best is got to be either Sudden Death or Slapshot.
You're going to consider Sudden Death a hockey movie?
Well, it's got a lot of good hockey scenes.
I'm for Sudden Death being on any best of list.
But I would say, I think Slapshot is probably the best.
All right. Really? Miracle doesn't get the nod, huh?
Miracle's really good, but Slapshot, I think, having gone to minor league hockey games, I feel like Slapshot captures it.
Gotcha.
The worst, I think, has to be The Love Guru.
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
because the plot of that is the Love Guru has to come in and help this like Toronto Maple Leafs guy fix his marriage so he can play the game. And the hockey scenes in that movie, the hockey is like a total afterthought, but they shove it in there in the second and third acts of the film, and it's terrible.
And that's why the Toronto Maple Leafs have sucked for.
Exactly. I would also think it's tied with that MVP, Most Valuable Primate.
Not bad.
It's also the hockey one, not the – and he plays a lot of sports, that primate. But.
All right. Who's next? Lots of sports out there.
Well, I mean, I guess – I mean, my favorite sport is, of course, baseball.
Okay, good.
So best baseball moments, I'll go with the whole sequence in The Naked Gun, the whole baseball sequence.
Oh, yeah.
That's very good.
From the highlight reel.
The highlight reel is great. I love it when
the ump.
The guy gets it by the car at second base. Is my favorite.
Boy, bad baseball moments. I'm trying to think of there. Were there any baseball moments in G.I. Joe? Because that would probably be bad.
Now, if you haven't seen this movie, I'm sure, but there is – I think there is a pretty obvious one that I'll pinch it for you. You may have heard of it, though. It's the baseball sequence in Twilight.
Oh, I just, I haven't seen that movie, but I saw that sequence, and it is terrible. It is awful.
Yeah, it's like five of them playing baseball and running the past. And it's like shot like – it's essentially the central action sequence in the whole movie, which tells you how pathetic a vampire movie that is, so –
Well, baseball is a team sport, and so is Friday filibustering. So, thanks, Dave.
Well played. And this comes after you stole all my brackets.
I know. See, it's just you're really you're epitomizing the self-sacrifice necessary to do something.
You get a podcast done and out recorded. All right, Mac.
We all know where this is going. I'm going to go with the roller derby.
Okay.
And the best has got to be the classic from 1971, Kansas City Bomber.
Hey, never heard of it.
Never even heard of it? Oh, it's sweet. It's what many consider the definitive movie on the subject, at least to date.
Could you be more specific with this word, many? Who is doing the considering here?
Those few people who have both seen the movie and are roller derby fans. So yeah, the hero of our story is this, statuesque woman who gets transferred from one team to the other, and her new teammates don't get along with her, and she has to like prove herself because of how tough she is. And she gets involved with the romance with the team's manager, but it turns out wrong. And there's all this drama and heartbreak, but because it's the early 70s, it's really like kitschy, campy drama. There's this another skater decides she's going to kill herself by lying down on the railroad tracks, and our hero has to go save her. It's that kind of drama. they got the actual roller derby skaters to do a lot of the stunts during the skating sequences, and that's where the movie really shines, because the sport was in its height back at that time, and man, all the crazy moves that they pulled off are just really eye popping.
Nice. And the worst?
The worst? I'm kind of opinions are divided about this movie. I was really disappointed by it, and that was Whip It, which came out a year or so ago, which is supposed to be this big movie about the roller derby, but the roller derby is really just a gimmick in the movie. It's just your basic chick flick about the coming out of your shell and the feeling emotions and crying and hugging. And, it's all of that And oh, by the way, there's a couple of scenes of some roller derby, but you know. So it was a letdown for me. Other people liked the movie. Hey, if you liked it, fine, good for you. But it was a letdown for me.
All right, and with that, we've covered the entirety of the roller derby movie making canon. Well, go with basketball. Best, that's an easy one. Hoosiers. Hoosiers is one of the finest sports movies ever made. Certainly the best basketball movie, I think.
You mean not The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh?
I don't know what those words mean. I know that they're
words.
You've
never heard of that movie? It's an old. It's from like the '70s. It's about a basketball team in Pittsburgh.
Actually, I did not. I'll see if I can track that down. I will. Thanks. The worst. I'm just going to do the sequence in Full House where Jesse learns basketball from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for a 3-on-3 tournament that for some reason people paid money to see. It was a charity 3-on-3 tournament, and it was like Kareem was the ref, and three anonymous white guys were the other team, and it was Joey and Danny and Jesse was the third, and Jesse sucked so bad he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of his sons, so he had Kareem teach him one jump shot. And what do you think happened when Jesse was open for that one jump shot with the game on the line? Did he make it or did he not make it?
I'd say he missed and probably tore his ACL.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I think it hit the rim and bounced around for a while, like way too long, and went in.
Okay, Mac?
Ooh, that's good.
I'm going to guess that they cut to a reaction shot of one of the Olsen twins.
I think you a little bit of both, except for the ACL tear, but you never know. It did go in, and not much drama. It did go straight in, but it was slow motion, and I think everybody on the sidelines had their mouths open like idiots watching it go. All right, moving along. Eric, why don't you go next?
All right, well, this is October, or Shocktober, or whatever rhymes with Ox. I don't know. It's the time of year when one would...
Well, we just had Jocktober with the sports one, and then...
Right, and
Max was nothing.
Monktober.
You can work on that. Anyway, it's time of year we watch scary movies. You know, leading up to Halloween. So my question is, what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you after watching a scary movie?
Ooh, interesting.
Jeez, so often it's like go to sleep. Or eat a meal.
Eat a meal.
What's the weirdest meal you've ever had?
Like, I had dinner right after watching The Exorcist for the first time. But that's not going to be my answer.
Was it a weird... Oh, I already said weird meal.
Was it split pea soup?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll go, I guess. I've reviewed quite a few weirdo things in my time with The Verdict, one of which, the weirdest, and it was the first movie I think I've watched that honestly made me feel dirty as a person. And it's technically a horror movie, I guess. It's called Entrails of a Virgin. And I watched it, hated it, and put it in my car. I hated it so much that I didn't even want to throw it out in my own zip code. I brought it with me, and I threw it out at a supermarket. Supermarket waste bin, like 10 miles away. It was so awful, yeah.
Wow.
I hated it so much. I felt so dirty. I needed to get it away from my zip code.
Isn't that a collector's item on eBay?
Probably. Sure it is. Which,
Dave, I bet you didn't even do that with Deadline.
Deadline was... I did not do a Deadline. This was 10 times worse than Deadline. It wasn't scary. It just made me feel... filthy and awful.
Wow.
It was just so – it was like depraved and worthless. The Deadline was definitely scary. You know, it was upsetting.
Awful. Upsetting is probably the best word to describe it.
It still stands as one of the more – probably one of the scariest movies I've seen. So, but that may have been just the Oskar needs wings talking. What do I know? All right, who's next?
Did Mac go?
This is a tricky one. Well, I don't know if it's horror or not. There's certainly a dark, suspenseful aspect to it. And it's a movie that certainly gets into your head. And I did watch it on Halloween one year, so that kind of makes it count as horror in some weird way. But the movie is Eraserhead, David Lynch.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So whether or not it's horror, it's certainly dark and disturbing. I saw that on the big screen at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge one year, and... I had, of course, seen the movie a whole bunch of times before going to see it, so I was just like, yeah, all right, Eraserhead, it's all freaky. And then I was sitting near the front of the theater, and as the movie ended, I got up out of my seat and I looked out on all the other people sitting in the theater, and just a sea of just like stunned faces. Everyone watching the movie was just like totally bewildered. It's a whole room of people whose minds had just been completely blown. And it was like the same look on everybody's face, is just that sort of jaw open, eyes glazed, what the hell did I just watch look. So that was a real magical movie moment right there.
Nice.
Not a lot has happened to me after I've seen scary movies, but the weirdest thing I think I experienced was, I was young. I don't remember how old I was when Blair Witch came out. I was probably in high school, maybe. I don't remember. But I saw it. I was just seeing it for the second time. It was like a late showing, and it was a fairly empty theater, but there were a bunch of kids who were like way older than me, probably like in their mid-20s, sitting 10 rows ahead of me in the theater, and it was pretty much empty otherwise. And they had snuck in like their own drinks in cans of some sort, and they were carrying on throughout the whole movie. And then when the movie was over and like that ending happens, and then like the credits or the whatever they were start running, they just started throwing the cans like off the walls of the theater. Which just totally like trash, and they're like throwing their garbage all over the place. And we were just like, let's get out of here before
that counts.
Yeah, so that was a really weird way to react to the movie.
Nice. All right.
Just throw your cans at the screen.
Your answers all had a little bit more littering in it than I. Littering or throwing things away in other people's garbage cans than I expected, but I guess I'll put down the flashlight I'm holding under my chin for this. But it was after I saw The Exorcist for the first time, which is only about like probably about a decade ago now, when they re-released it, you know, in theaters.
Yeah.
And I was working in Pennsylvania at the time, and I was it was me on my own, and I went to this mall movie theater, and I was driving back, and it's kind of a rural area of Pennsylvania, and I was driving through, and I swear I thought I saw this black dog standing by the side of the road, and then it was gone.
Whoa, nice.
And I'm not sure if so to this day, I'm not sure if it was ever there or not. But every year on the same night, I hear a can of Alpo opening in the distance.
They still make Alpo?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it. I buy food for my dog regularly. I don't recall seeing Alpo.
It's the only. I don't have a dog, so it's the only dog food I know. Alpo.
And the mysterious dog of mystery, it opens its own can of Alpo?
I was trying to think of a dog thing. Maybe barking is kind of, I hear the chain.
Right. I think Alpo the Templar is an Arn the Templar, I think.
There should be a series of movies. There are. I mean, Air Bud kind of goes in this direction, but you know, big blockbuster movies where all of the parts are played by dogs. So like you take a Templar movie and you do a dog Templar movie. Like instead of the Da Vinci Code, you do it with dogs. It would probably make more sense. I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
Isn't that kind of like what Wishbone was, that TV show?
Yeah, exactly. But do it with movies. Why? I mean, people love dogs.
People love throwing away money.
They love it. Are you kidding me? They love it. I mean, Marmaduke was a step in that direction because it was like they took a really bad movie and they made it with dogs. They should do a hockey movie with dogs. Actually, has there been a hockey Air Bud movie?
I don't think.
Man,
that would be really hard
to get air in hockey, so it would be really,
you know,
air hockey.
Dog on skates.
he'd wear four skates. I'm not sure what it would be. Air Bud 8.
He'd have to be a goalie. He'd have to be a goalie, right?
Yeah.
Air Bud 8 goalie retriever.
I'd like him to like him to be the coach.
Goalie retriever. The coach.
He just sits behind the bench with a suit on, and then like during the period intermissions, he just barks at people in the locker room. Like, you don't understand him.
What's that, coach? You want me to play more rough?
That's great.
That's
Mike. What do you got for that?
Oh, we're still going, huh? Okay.
Yeah, this will be an easy one. In honor of The Social Network, give me some other corporate origin story that Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher could adapt for the big screen.
Oh, man. How about the Alpo story? I'm going to look right now to find out what's happening with Alpo. What do you think, Alpo.com? This is like a version of it. Is that actor dead or not?
Is this dog food still in?
Dog food still in. It looks like I've actually been selected as available customer to participate in a short survey to improve the website. Alpo.com.
It's probably just a squatter site, right? It just points to other dog food.
You know, the tagline for Alpo is real dogs eat meat. Not bad.
Wow.
Our first ever virtual book reading event. The book is called Real Dogs Eat Meat. Okay, they actually have a celebrity who reads the Alpo Meat Handbook. Actor Taye Diggs reads the
Alpo. Wow.
Wow. So there you go.
That's a thrilling movie. Starring Taye Diggs.
All right. So, yeah, Alpo, let's find out. Man, actually, this looks pretty good. The Alpo Chop House T-Bone Steak Flavor. Wow,
that's a lot of adjectives.
It's with Angus beef. A dog needs to know they have Angus off-the-grill aroma.
Where's the Kobe beef version?
What kind of dogs, man?
Apparently the reason you haven't seen Alpo anywhere is you don't shop in fancy enough stores.
What dog needs to eat his food if it doesn't have off-the-grill aroma?
I think all dogs require is, you know, off-the-table aroma.
That's true. Off another dog's butt aroma.
Pretty much. I think aroma, really. Or not. Really. Is it on the floor?
It's on the floor, right. All right. Well, the Alpo movie. I don't know what the Alpo movie is called, but all right.
I'd like to see in the vein of the Facebook movie, maybe an Amazon.com movie. You know, the real story behind Amazon.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, it'd be like Jeff Bezos and all the people that he stuffed in boxes and free shipped somewhere to get where he is today.
You mean you want to sell something other than books?
That'll never work. You'll see. I'll sell gourmet groceries at Alpo.
This website isn't about a jungle.
Get your nose out of a book, Bezos. Something like that. And there'll be the whole section where he clashes with the Segway guy. Although it's maybe a little too soon for that.
Too soon. Although the Segway guy who invented the Segway is alive and kicking. Dean Kamen in New Hampshire.
Oh, that's not the same Segway. I heard that the Segway guy.
Now the guy who bought like the Segway brand or bought whatever company to make this, the inventor of the Segway is still.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's terrible for the family of the other guy, and that's upset, but. I'm glad that the Segway guy who invented Segway is still alive.
Yep,
I mean, who knows what else that technology could be used for?
That's true. And way to extricate yourself out of a thorny situation.
I am practicing to run for higher office.
That's good. Mac, I think you're
okay. Let's see. Well, Dave, I'm glad you didn't go for this one because it was the first thing that came to my mind. I'd like to see Fincher and Sorkin take on the untold story of Dinotalks.
Oh, yes. Well played.
Which is, of course, the sinister corporation from Karate Kid Part 3.
That's right. Well played. I would love to see an expose on Dinotalks. I mean, and how compelling will that side plot be over the CEO's apparent infatuation with some dopey college kid who won a karate tournament 3 years ago, you know?
What was it? Terry Silver? Was that the guy?
That's right. Well, yep.
Yeah, big muscle bound CEO who's
got nothing better to do. He's got a company he needs to run that's disposing of toxic waste. He's got nothing better to do.
That's right. The toxic waste. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of drama to be mined in the story of Dinotalks.
It's in the name, Dinotalks. Yeah. My thoughts were the. I wanted to see a film about the Snuggie/Slanket race.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because, you know, there was this thing called the Slanket, and then this thing called the Snuggie that came out not too long after, and it's like the race to put arms on a blanket. So I would like to think that there's like a lot of corporate intrigue, a lot of spying, you know, a lot of double-crossing and backstabbing, and all of it very comfortable.
Yeah, it's basically a story of two people who independently of each other accidentally put their robes on backwards. And said, I have an idea.
Exactly.
Frankly, slanket is a terrible word.
It is. It's, I mean, that's why it didn't take off and the Snuggie did, because it's called slanket.
The sound, the ank sound, unless you're Egyptian or something, it's just not a very pleasant sound.
Yeah.
Rhymes with stank and it rhymes with skank.
So in breaking news, I just typed in Dynatox into the search engine. And some enterprising blogger has a little list on Dynatox Industries. There's some information. Dynatox Industries is a multinational company that has a horrendous record of polluting the environment with chemicals. They can only be described as toxic. The president of Dynatox is Terry Silver. The charismatic Mr. Silver is a martial artist and a Vietnam veteran who served with the well-known karate teacher John Creasy. In the late 1980s, Terry Silver and Dynatox Industries hit the headlines when it was revealed that Mr. Silver was involved in a conspiracy to fix the outcome of the All-Valley Under-18 Karate Championship. Well played, blogger. Well played. I wonder if we can... Maybe the next Facebook page needs to be the Dynatox. I like Dynatox Industries.
They have a Facebook page.
Dynatox does?
Yeah, Dynatox Industries. You can like it.
In fact, only
one person likes it.
I can't find it. Yeah. Well, Terry Silver has a fan page. Oh man! All right. Well, enough of Dynatox. We don't need to give them any more free publicity. They're so corrupt. I think that's it, right? We're all done. We've done all our ambush topics. We're all done with all of our crap.
Yep. Yeah.
So Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is the email, Facebook.com/FridayFilibuster is our Facebook page. Please peruse all of our verdict sites, DVD, Cinema, TV, Pixel Verdict, and have a safe and happy Columbus Day.
Don't get too crazy, kids.
Don't get too crazy. Mac, take us away.
Don't have a cow, man.